You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the Soda Pod, we run down the Minnesota Wild's draft picks from the weekend. We tease Friday's jam-packed hockey show. We have Make Good Choices featuring Catholic school drinking. And of course, another banger of a Judge Joey. All that and more in episode 182 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Ishidromi here alongside the state of Hoppy, and thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Hoppy came off a busy week in the hockey world, and to be honest, we got one more episode ahead of us where we actually dissect the remainder of the news, but how are you feeling today?
Hey man, we came out of it. It's been a crazy stretch of what? Week and a half with just all of the hockey news we could handle. But now we're kind of in that sit and wait pattern to see how else Bill Guerin's going to round out this roster.
Yeah, I just read a tweet that said Nick Foligno will actually be a Minnesota Wild by Wednesday. So I don't know how much validity there is to that report, but like you said, sitting and waiting, seeing what dominoes are going to fall and how this roster is going to start to take shape this offseason moving into next season. Just want to give a quick shout out to everybody who both tuned in live to the SodaStream draft special we had and who listened to the podcast, you know, 1, 2, or all 4 hours. We really appreciate that. But more importantly, Hoppy, like a big thanks to everyone who participated, all of the guests who jumped on. It seemed like they had a lot of fun, which ultimately is what we wanted to do. So I can't thank them enough. I don't know if you want to, you know, say a few words as well.
No, I mean, you said it all right there. It was a blast. It seemed like everyone else had as much, if not more fun than the two of us did. And that's what we're going for here. And all that means is easy recruiting next year when we do this all again.
Yeah.
Thank you all, though, for jumping on.
Yeah, again, thank you so much. We've featured a lot of those guests before at individual segments here on the Soda Pod, and some we're going to bring on as well. Like we said, in the podcast of the Soda Stream, like we had never touched base with Micheletti before he jumped on. It was like we were all best friends, so I can't wait to bring him on for a full segment. And some fans and even some of our guests are like, well, we got to do one of these, you know, for free agency or for this and this and that. It's like, look, we'll do a few more, we promise. So it's awesome that it was so well received, both from our listeners, fans, new fans, and the guests. So really excited about that and love putting on SodaStream specials here on the Soda Pod podcast. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. You can leave us a text or voicemail, especially if you want to get on this episode, because we want to feature some of our listeners' good choices on this Wednesday episode. 612-324-1684 is the number to dial and or text. Again, 612-324-1684. Big shout out to Open Phone. It's a cell phone in an app. The Hockey Podcast Network is powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Don't forget to use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. We're going to do a quick Hoppy Hour on the other side and then dive into some Minnesota Wild talk here before we bring on Q for some Make Good Choices as we say a few words about, well, all the draft picks that we saw Billy Guerin and Judd Brackett select in this exciting draft over the weekend. You're listening to the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock. I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right, Hoppy. What are we drinking today?
You know, I'm going to be a little boring here. I'm just going through the stocks that I have in the fridge. So we are back on Metaphase from Drekker. Again, that beautiful can art you love so much. Rightfully so. It's but awesome, again, pretty standard double dry hop, double IPA from them.
Very nice, very nice. I don't know if I've featured this one on the Soda Pod before. Phillips Brewing Citrus City. Leave it to Phillips to have the great can art there. I got a box sitting next to me as well. Very, you know, as it says, a grapefruit zest. There's a lot of citrus to this one. As Phillips, you know, as they always do, great can art, great design. They always do a little blurb about the beer, so I'll read it here. It's the Citrus City is a grapefruit zest infused IPA charged with freshly peeled fruit juiciness. Zesty pith notes mingle in perfect union with bright citrus hop character. Peel back the sunshine and enjoy some citrus paradise. I love how there's a little plug in there as well. So yeah, Citrus City India Pale Ale, 6.5%. So this one's going to be fun as I rip through some of these cans here in the summer. Just as good as those peach ales I've been crushing. So cool. Phillips, they crush it year round with the dark beers and you know, porters and stouts for the winter, and you know, all these awesome fruit beers in the summer that, you know, are still traditional craft. You know, I guess nothing's traditional if it's craft beer. Traditional beer. They're not too crazy, but they're great for connoisseurs like us who enjoy a little something special. So shout out Phillips Brewing. Always always impress me. Man, those are dangerous. At 6.5%, like, they go down like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a sticky situation.
Literally as I spill a little bit on my desk here and iPad. All right, short but sweet Hoppy Hour. On the other side, we're going to dive into some Minnesota Wild news here on episode 182 of the Soda Pod.
Before we dive in and recap the Minnesota Wild draft, absolutely have to, you know, touch on the unfortunate tragedy over the weekend. Mac Motsko, 20-year-old son of Golden Gopher men's hockey head coach Bob Motsko, died of injuries suffered in a car crash on Saturday night in Orno that also killed another passenger. Not sure what the status is, at least as of this recording, for the driver, but again, other passenger actually died on site, and Mac Motsko made it to a hospital and unfortunately passed away from injuries.
Yeah, I mean, condolences, friends, family, you know, the Gophers family as well. This is, you know, sad news we never want to talk about, but we do want to highlight it to, you know, pay respects to him and the family there. Way too young, way too young.
Yeah, 20 years old. It's hard to wrap your head around, man. And we don't know a ton of details as of now. We're recording this on Sunday. So I'm sure more will come out, but yeah, we're apparently... Initial thoughts are that alcohol and speed appear to be the contributing factors. So we'll see as we hear more, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll speak on it more if we have to, but the great thing is the support coming from not only the Minnesota hockey community, but just like the state and the hockey world as a whole. Anyone who's been close to the Gophers or that family, you know, are thinking about you and praying for all you right now. So just wanted to touch on that on the Soda Pod as we do. Hard pivot, but let's get into some Wild talk here and recap the draft, Hoppy, because it was a special one for the Minnesota Wild. I know last year was great with Billy Guerin, who came in. He got some great picks in that player whose jersey is hanging behind you there, Marco Rossi and co. But this year was pretty damn good too. And Billy Guerin and Judd Brackett had their eyes on some players, so much so that they actually made some moves to acquire them.
Yeah, and that's what you really love to see, right? The conviction that you know your player's there, you want them, you make the move to get them. And that's what happens when you can accumulate pieces like that. When you have the draft picks to trade, you can make bold moves like that and grab that player you want. That, let's be real, whenever that happens, it's because a player's fallen too far down the board. Before we dive in and kind of do the rundown of each player that was picked, Isha, of course, covering the plethora, or as he would say, plethora of WHL draftees, which I got to say, Isha, congrats. You got exactly what you wanted here with the majority coming from the dub. Have to say congrats to our friends over at the Stick Hungry podcast. I honestly feel like Eklund falling to seven is very reminiscent of us never thinking there was a chance for Rossi to fall to us last year. So we hope you got your guy. We know we have ours as long as all the health things are sorted out and as long as he doesn't get packaged for Jack Eichel. But hey, Floor, Dylan, you got your guy, we hope.
I listened to their podcast. They started recording it literally like 5 minutes after the pick. And then went for like an hour as the draft was going on. So it was funny actually listening to them, you know, comment on, you know, what Minnesota was doing as well later. But yeah, Nick was just so pumped. So pumped. Dylan couldn't believe it either. And there were rumblings that that pick for the San Jose Sharks was actually in play. And as soon as, you know, they saw Eklund on the board or, you know, still on the board, you know, you better believe that Doug Wilson Jr. was telling Pop there, hey, don't call anybody else anymore. We're taking this guy. That's the guy to take. So a very Doug Wilson Jr.-esque pick, you know, I don't want to say undersized, but a smaller, more skilled type of player. And I think that's what the San Jose Sharks need moving forward, especially since he's played center before. I think he's going to be a winger at the National Hockey League level, but that he could maybe slot in there if need be, and maybe it works out at this level. At least there's a chance where the Sharks need a center, so it's kind of win-win for them. It's like, look, we got the skilled player that we're happy with anyways, and maybe he can play some center. So yeah, you said it there. Props to them.
And what a great lead in there, Isha, because coming into this weekend, the only thing that you could see across Wild Twitter was that we were absolutely going to load up on centers. And well, that couldn't have been less true when we take one and absolutely hammer the defense position. And again, looking across the board, everyone seems to be pretty happy with the players that were taken. We're going to run them all down here in a second, but Isha, got to ask you, are you pretty shocked that there was one center taken later in the draft by the Wild?
I was floored. Floored much like Nick Floor. I couldn't believe it.
I'm leaving.
I still don't understand it. These players must have... I trust Judd Brackett in that these players were the ones that they're available. They're the best ones there, and they're the ones that he targeted. And I think that's just... That was the plan this year. Rather than positional need, they went with the best prospects. So I am still a little shocked. I'm sure we'll get more comments on like the direction as this offseason plays out, but maybe there's something bigger at play here. Maybe Billy Guerin knows, don't worry, the center position is going to be okay because of X, Y, and Z that we haven't seen or heard from yet.
Oh, baby. And wait and see, we will. All right, let's jump in here then, Isha. We're going to go down the list one by one. Leading off here, first round, 20th overall, traded up to get him, snatched him from Edmonton, which, oh boy, we'll talk about this for weeks to come. Jesper Wallstedt of Luleå in the SHL. This is a guy that maybe the physical tools don't jump out at you, but he doesn't need them. From what every scout says, he has elite sense, puck tracking ability. He is always in the right spot, especially in high danger situations. And a lot of scouts even said that they prefer him over recent picks in the first round in Spencer Knight and Yaroslav Askarov.
That's what I heard, which is unbelievable. We talked about defenseman Hoppy, 26th overall in the first round. The Wild took a WHLer out of Winnipeg, Carson Lambos. Lampos is a potent shooter with the skill and instincts to manipulate defenders and improve his shooting location without the puck. He activates from the point, which is awesome. He becomes a passing option and a scoring threat as well. He fakes shots and passes well, waits for the defenders to commit, and then bursts into space he creates. Constant head fakes add another layer of his deception. So a great mover on the ice, a great puck mover, and he understands the game well.
Yeah, and a lot of people seemed pretty excited about this pick. I'll be honest that I didn't know a ton about him. I mean, obviously he was ranked fairly highly, but the way people reacted, clearly Judd Brackett made something intelligent here. Second round, 54th overall, Jack Peart, Mr. Hockey recipient from Grand Rapids High School, and also played a little bit for the Fargo Force of the USHL. Two-way defenseman, great with his puck retrievals, exits, and awareness across the board. A little bit of room for his offensive game to grow, but obviously this isn't a guy that's going to be jumping in anytime soon. Going off to St. Cloud State to play college hockey, and following in the footsteps of Nick Leddy being a Mr. Hockey drafted by the Minnesota Wild. And thank God Cam Barker has retired. We do not need to worry about losing Peart to some stupid trade. Oh, man. But everyone was saying after the fact, right, Isha, that this is a guy that Wild had way higher up their boards than most. A lot of people had him being a late first, early second type potentially, but Minnesota, it sounds like, had him in their like top 20 list of players they were targeting.
Oh, wow. The center we all talked about in the third round, 86th overall, Caden Banker, Kamloops WHL product here, a skilled centerman, a skilled playmaker, pre-scanning for options, then quickly passing to a teammate in scoring positions is primarily his game. Even off retrievals or when forced to the backhand, he usually makes a positive play. Very much offensive minded, room to grow on the defense, and you know he's still going to marinate in juniors for a little bit. So we talked about more defense. You always want some on the right side, and by doing so, the Minnesota Wild drafted Kyle Masters. He's out of Red Deer of the WHL. He's a playmaker. He's good at moving the puck. He's not the most obvious target, but the one that creates the most favorable situations up and down the rink. He activates into the rush by filling space on the weak side as the trailer or becoming a forward in every situation. He sprints past the man, establishing body position if necessary, and he adjusts his route and speed to become passing options. So another offensive-minded style defenseman. He put up decent points in Red Deer, but again, more of a pass first kind of guy who can join the rush if needed. And with only, you know, two half seasons for the Red Deer Rebels, he's probably going to be in junior for another 2-3 years. And those are really when the Wild are going to see if he can be the real deal and develop his game a little bit further. Finally, Josh Piller, another Kamloops product here. There were three that went in this draft, if I'm not mistaken. He's the foundation. This is what scouts say anyways. He's the foundation of the Kamloops Blazers forward groups right now. And his game is his skating, which is awesome to see at the junior level. Someone skating so good. The other skills, you know, they can be learned a little bit more too and polished up. He identifies opportunities to further his speed advantage by baiting the defenders and changing the pace and without hesitations, then accelerating once the defensemen reach. He's turned into a direct checker who can force poor decisions, support the play, and occasionally get involved physically. So this is honestly a very good pick, even late in the fourth round at 127th overall.
And yet another WHL product.
Hell yeah, baby.
And then the last pick, much to the pleasure of Michael Russo, who got to end his day early, in the sixth round, 182, Nate looked up his pronunciation and couldn't find anything. So it's either Benoit or Benoit of Mount St. Charles, Rhode Island. Little stint there with Tri-City Storm, who he will play with at least one more season before joining the University of North Dakota. Listen, this is a guy that's a late bloomer. This is a guy that we're kind of throwing a dart on and comes through with that gritty presence, aggressive defender, and just plays that, you know, chiseled physical style of defense. And interesting note here, actually the first UND commit ever drafted by the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. There you go. I had a lot of fun both on the Soda Stream, obviously, but I had a lot of fun also just going back and, you know, checking out these prospects, reading about them a little bit more. I will be posting just like some player cards on the SodaPod Twitter account, and hell, I'll throw them up on Facebook as well, like we did last year. If you're not familiar with them, just check out at State of Hoppy's cover photo. So if anyone just, yeah, they want a little read up on them, any of the casual listeners of the podcast, you want to know who we're talking about, just check those out at the Soda Pod. So exciting draft day. We'll unpack them a little bit more as we hear the Wild comment on them and they get their media availabilities and this and that, throughout the summer. But overall, Hoppy, happy with the draft and the selections, even though they kind of went off the board, not drafting a ton of centers.
Hey. Happy as one can be this early, because again, you see people dunking across the board on good and bad picks, and let's wait like a good 3 years before we actually say who had a good or bad draft. A lot of people went nuts about Steve Yzerman and his defenseman that he took too early. Now he's one of the top defense prospects across the NHL. So maybe let's just wait a second and see how good these players are. How about that?
Yeah. As much as we want to rip Ottawa, let's just also pump the brakes there as well.
Yeah, they're the low-hanging fruit, right?
Oh, man. All right. On the other side, we have a great segment of Make Good Choices. I teased it in the beginning of the show. Catholic school drinking? Q will highlight more of that in the next segment here. Brought to you by DraftKings, leader in daily fantasy sports, and presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 182.
Great choice.
Bad feeling about this.
It is Wednesday, and you know what that means. We have another segment of Make Good Choices, ironically named after the absolutely god-awful beer named Make Good Choices that Q thought might be my gateway into drinking sours. Nope. He was very much mistaken. It was bubbling. It was disgusting. I can't believe I drank it, but I trusted him. Sorry. Not my best choice. But obviously, per usual, we have Q riding shotgun here. Q, I've seen you sipping on something over there. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a chonk. I suck at that video stuff. There it is. Sunday Sour Tropical Berry Blast. I went to Zips Liquor, and it was the first time that they had no limit on Drekker chonk. So I went to town and bought 8. Just had to do it.
There's a limit on cans you can buy
a lot. A lot in the cities was like the Egan MGM. You can only buy 2, which is like down the street from me. So like I go to Zips because I can buy 4 normally, and I got friends at work that are like, I'll take one, and this other guy's like, I want one, and I want.
So Isha, you're very familiar with Drekker and Junkyard.
Yeah,
and those are ones that like ship to very specific liquor stores.
Yeah,
throughout the Twin Cities, that like they'll be on Twitter saying like, hey, we're making our drops. Hey, here's what dropped, okay. Whatever. And those places know that they're going to sell it all out, like regardless. So they literally put a 1 limit so that everyone can get some, because I appreciate the limit, because otherwise I wouldn't get any.
Yeah, no, like I go at 1 o'clock on Thursday, every other Thursday.
You Americans are savage. Up here in Canada, we just understand beer etiquette. And it's like, if they're single cans, you just don't go in and buy them all. You know, you buy your case to buy your volume. Buy 1 or 2 cans.
Oh, man.
Whenever I can slip in a shot, Hoppy knows I always will.
Okay. We've got far more shots we can slip your way. And I just don't even have to go there, because America.
But before you tell your story tonight, Hoppy, like, I feel like today you said that Make Good Choices is a god-awful beer. And that's news to me, because, like, when I look at it on Untappd, it's rated a 4.08 from 1,139 different people.
So it's like barely above a four, and that's people that like sours, which I don't. And that's people who didn't have the fucking bubbly version.
Yeah, that was that must have been a bad batch, because that was fucked. And I'm so lucky I got to see that on a live stream, because I wouldn't have believed it if Hoppy told me over Twitter.
Yeah.
It made no sense. I was so confused.
Q, have I'm you like, ever
this is
seen
the weirdest carbonation I've ever
and
seen.
For and for those listening to the podcast, Hoppy opened this beer and poured it, and the thing literally just started melting in his glass. Like, it was like a grade 8 science experiment in a glass, and all he did was pour a beer.
It was
for the Americans beer. Listening, that means 8th grade.
What did I say?
Grade 8.
Grade 8. Jesus. I was like, what the fuck did I say? Q, has it ever reacted in that way, you know, to you?
Yeah, like, I mean...
Yeah. Okay, we're done.
It's been a great episode, everyone. Next on the other side, Jesus Christ, Q.
You're a mutant.
I like the extra bubbles. It's like champagne.
I like the acid going through my intestines.
Oh, I mean, man. Untapped, you can see, like, they got big bubbles.
No. Foam is not the same as literally, like, bubbling.
I know. It was kind of scary. It was making noise.
It was hissing at me.
I thought it was going to melt his glass. But anyways, all right, let's get to the story. All right,
yeah, moving on. So this week we're going to just talk about the fucked up landscape that is St. Mary's University of Minnesota down in Winona. So for those who don't know, I mean, Catholic private school, obviously, they had a dry campus. Obviously, everyone drank their faces off, but technically you weren't allowed to if you got caught. And they had come up with bullshit reasons, like, to, like, enter your room. Like, Q, the first one, we both got the same first write-up in your room. We were actually watching the college hockey tournament, and this was, Isha, like, right after we found the Stalock Superfan videos, and Q's screaming his face off because Stalock made a big save. And, of course, the guy comes in, he's like, yeah, I heard bottles and cans in here. Oh, look at all this. Look at all this. Yeah. Fuck you, Kuba.
yeah.
Anyways, so obviously writes us all up. Great. So the progression at St. Mary's goes 101, 201, 301, and I don't know, Q, if there is a 401, I never got there, so I don't know what it is. But alcohol 101, the first time you get caught is actually like teaching you to drink more effectively.
Wait, have to go to a seminar when you get caught drinking at a Catholic university?
It's Catholic, right? Yeah.
LaSalle.
The first one I enjoyed. I would have signed up for that like on a monthly basis because you literally sit down in front of this, like, we're talking like 1990s computer, and play this basically a game, a simulation of like over the course of a night, like add this drink, add this food, add it like this quickly, whatever, and see how drunk you get over time. And like, you basically get to teach yourself how to drink, get drunk without getting shit faced. Right. I'm like, all right, this is fucking wonderful. Obviously I didn't really absorb a whole lot from it. It maybe was retained for like 2 or 3 weeks. But second phase is then group shame session. Basically, it was like, I think between 8 and 10 of us sitting in a room, like around a table and like talking about our choices and the highlight of it. So first off, at this point, my current wife and I like aren't really friends. Really long story. She basically tried to friend zone me freshman year and I did not take well to that. We got together like 3 or 4 years after college was over, but maybe we'll talk about that another time. She's in this class with me and everyone's going around the room. They give us these pitchers of water, right? And they put a solo cup in front of us and they tell everyone, hey, we want you to show us what you think a shot is.
What?
This was my least shining moment ever. Cause well, me and my friends, we poured our drinks pretty stiff and I didn't really know. And I actually, if I'm being completely honest, I thought I was being a little conservative. Like, I knew that it was not going to be an exact shot, but I thought, like, you know what? This is a little bit less than what I would have thought a shot was. So, yeah. Sure. Everyone then has to, in front of everybody, pour it out into shot glasses and then into a cup. My shot was 3.5 shots. They then proceed to teach us that the very bottom rim, like that little, like we're talking centimeters rim across, that is the shot line. And they said that to me before we poured our cups. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like my eyes lit up. I'm like, shit, this is going to be bad. So yeah, 3.5 shots in my one shot. And they just look at me. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I'm here to party. I don't know. And then 301 is like a one-on-one session where they like ask if you have a problem and shit. And I literally like, I told the guy straight up, like, hey, I got caught. It was a bad, like, it was unfortunate that I got caught, but no, I do not have a problem. I'm in college. Like, and the guy was pretty cool. Like he was understanding, like we were pretty straight with each other. Just said like, just try and be careful. Like don't kill yourself. Try and be smarter and not get caught, like that kind of stuff. I don't know, Q.
I shouldn't laugh at someone giving advice to not kill yourself, well, but no, like come
not,
on, man.
But not that, like not like.
No, I know. I'm just like, saying, right. Like, come on.
But like that was the gist of it, and like I don't know, Q. Did you have a different experience going from 101 through 301? Because I know you did all three of them.
I didn't do 301.
You didn't do 301.
I turned 21 as a sophomore though, so I got ran up twice as a freshman.
True. And twice. Fuck. I got them free. Separate years.
Yeah. Then I was free sophomore year. I was buying for like everybody that knew me, like I bought beer and alcohol for my sophomore year. I was like, if I had any business sense, I would have made so much cash. I touched so much money. Like
that's so funny.
Instead, this is the extent that his business sense goes, Isha. He gets the family credit card for like groceries and stuff. Like they don't want him to have to eat cafeteria food all the time. And he like clicks in his brain. He's like, okay, so as long as I don't like make purchases at a liquor store or at a bar, I can write it off as groceries. Beautiful. I got a scam all baked up. He would literally take us out and like have us buy his beers, like have me buy a case, whatever. And then Sunday was Jack Qualley Day. Jack provided pizzas for everybody on Sunday because again, that goes on the food card. We're good. So we're all paid back in food. And little does Jack know that this is a scheme for him to peddle booze without getting in trouble.
It's totally normal.
So he does have, he has business sense. He does.
It's totally normal for your one child to order $57 worth of pizza from Pizza Hut on repetitive Sundays during football season.
Probably just thought, you know what, the family's like, he's got the guys over, whatever, we're okay with this. It's better than my cousin one time who got his dad's construction company credit card and was like, oh, I can go to the strip club and buy drinks for everyone, they won't see this on the statement.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I mean that goes straight to the point of why at Gophers University they had a bar called the Library.
Amazing.
Because that's what shows up on the bill.
That is amazing. Oh, that is amazing. I love
Cute. So no 301 because, again, I forget that you were 21 as a sophomore and shit. I made it through most of junior year not being 21 because I'm a baby.
It's just funny to hear you guys talk about university because in Canada, unless you're in Alberta, it's 19 is the legal drinking age.
Right, you got 18. I know.
So basically, like, right when you're out of high school, like, no one's slapping you on the wrist. And again, like, I didn't go to a religious-based university at all, too. So, like, there it was just, like, you just have the cops to deal with. Campus, as long as you're not passed out, like, and, you know, reasonable, usually you don't have to deal with much. So it's just interesting hearing it from your guys' perspective, especially, like, the age stuff there, like, the age difference as far as when you can legally drink.
Well, man, and so we'll go to another story then, spun off it. Me and a couple buddies went back. It was, like, it wasn't a reunion, but it's kind of like the alumni something, but it wasn't the official one because Q, you know which one I'm talking about, that's always in September. There was another like something going on, and me and one of our buddies who has some really good stories that we'll maybe get on one day went to visit Joey in Winona, and we watched a hockey game, did the normal drinking bit, whatever, and right across from the rink is the freshman dorm that we all lived in when we were freshmen, like right by the rink, so it was perfect. And we go over to his younger brother's room, who's a freshman, and like same bullshit riffraff drinking. RAs come in, bust us. they ask us for names, and we both give name. All three of us gave names of people at St. Mary's that we were not all that fond of, who were also alumni like us.
That's good.
They didn't ask us for identification, so we just gave them the names.
That's amazing.
It was great. But then after the fact, like, one of them like started breaking down. He's like, my name's actually, I'm like, shut the fuck up. And we ditched him for the rest of the night.
Yeah,
but do you have any different opinions on 101 and 201 than what I portrayed?
I remember 101 being like the Oregon Trail of drinking.
That's actually a perfect way of putting it.
Hey, Hoppy, that's a clip. That's a clip.
The Oregon Trail of drinking.
And I remember being like,
You have died of alcohol poisoning, not dysentery.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And I felt like I was like good at it. Like, I was like, can I keep this game?
No, seriously, I would have paid for that game. It was a great learning opportunity, I guess.
And then I remember I was in 102 or whatever with like a bunch of older girls that I didn't know. And then we did the shot point thing. And I think like I knew from you like that the line was it.
But,
so there was two groups of like ladies, and like all four of this one group poured super heavy, and all of like the other group poured super light, and I was like, that makes sense. I was like, good to know. If I see their party, I'm going to their place.
Right, I know which party to go to. This is scouting.
Yeah.
Attaboy, attaboy.
Oh man.
Oh, I love it. Anything else to add, boys, or should we put a bow on this segment here for this week?
I can spin in circles for days talking about getting in trouble.
101 drinking, and 201. So. That's crazy. You got drinking seminars in your university. I love it.
Yep.
All right. That's been another edition of Make Good Choices. We encourage you folks to learn from us and make good choices. On the other side, we're bringing in Joey for another edition of Judge Joey here on the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every week, the Soda Pod will be featuring a debate of epic proportions, and I am here to determine who will hold the weekly belt of Judge Joey Champion. I, Judge Joey, will decide the winner, not by facts alone, but who debates the topic at hand the best and has the more compelling argument. But hold up, I am not the only one who gets to share their input on who has the better argument. You, yes you, the Soda Pod community, will be able to head to Twitter and cast your vote on who has the better case on Judge Joey. So enough introduction, let's get to tonight's topic.
All right, boys, tonight I bring to you, I'm going to do a little fun one this week and switch it up from our usual NHL talk. So to preface this, I have to ask you each a question. Isha, what is your favorite food?
You're going to hate me for this because you don't know what it is.
I know what it is.
It's called Faisanjan. It's a walnut, onion, and pomegranate stew.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes. What about your chicken place?
I mean, Nanda's is a close second, but nothing beats Persian food, baby.
All right. So, Hoppy, what is your favorite food?
Are you joking? Asian bistro, baby.
All right, Asian bistro. All right, so this week's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be kind of a head-to-head. It's going to be who's got the better, just straight better argument and why. So, Isha, would you give up your favorite food and never have beer again, or never eat your favorite food and be able to have beer again? And the same question goes to you, Hoppy. So we'll start with Isha this week because it doesn't really matter who goes first since you both get to argue the same thing.
Yeah, I lost last time, though, so Hoppy gets some more think tank time.
All right.
I would give up beer. It's that good. Wow. It's that good. I'd get my alcohol and hops fix in some other way, you know. Maybe go on the kombucha train to get some of that fermented shit in my body. But anyways, I'm going to go with, Faisanjan over beer because, honestly, I've tried a lot of things. I don't want to say I'm a foodie, but I do like to cook. My family's pretty diverse. You know, even though it's heavy Persian food and this is a Persian dish, I've been able to try many things. As when my Persian family escaped Iran, a lot of them went all over the world. So I have a diverse palate, and I was never a picky kid. And out of everything that I've tried and everything's so good, I've never been able to get Faesongjeon out of my mind. And I've actually been able, I've been trying to chase the recipe to make it as good as my dad. And so I just can't stop. I can't not try it. And it's, or try to make it as good as that to reach perfection. And I share it with all my friends and family too. And it's great for social events. So get to see friends often when I'm like dangling the Faesongjeon come for dinner. You know, there may not be beer here because I'm giving that up, but I'll definitely get hook you up with that Faesongjeon. It's walnuts, pomegranate, chicken, and onions. Actually really, really healthy for you. And you can eat it at any time of the day. They eat it in Iran for breakfast too, because it's more of a sweeter type of dish and very filling with the fats. You can have a vegetarian as well and still get that, you know, that fill from it because of it just being stewed in walnuts. And it's something that takes a lot of love and time to prep too. It takes about an hour to prep and about 5 hours to simmer. So it's one of those things where you make a lot of it. You can have it any time of the day and you can just hear the passion in my voice. Like, I'd give up beer in a heartbeat if that means still having Faesongjeon for the rest of my life.
Love it. Love the passion. So what's the stock in that? Or is it just those ingredients that you don't add anything else?
No. So you use concentrated pomegranate syrup, little bit of fresh pomegranate. And then the walnuts, there's different ways to. A lot of people fry them first, put them in, they kind of dissolve. Or I actually like put them in a blender. So it's more of a paste. Fry that for a bit, golden it up, and then put it in. That way the oils and the fats actually even break down the chicken as well, where it's like you could put a whole piece of chicken that you know sear for a bit and put it in there, and it's just part of the stew at the end of the day, which is just like, oh, it just melts in your mouth.
Love it. You can't go wrong with the fruit of the gods, as one of our college roommate called pomegranate. So.
Served over rice with saffron. Ooh. Which again is as prestige as that is, or like roti or pita bread.
Awesome, love it. Hoppy, Asian bistro or beer?
So I was juggling a little bit. I would have landed on the same answer, but hearing Isha say, oh, I'll find another way to get my hops or whatever. And then first off, that made me stop and go, how? Then he said kombucha. That scared the shit out of me. But I also benefited here, Joey, because of the way you asked the question. I answered absolutely honest, but the way I answered, I'm giving up one restaurant, which, let's be real, right now I have to drive more than a half hour to get there. And God bless her soul, I love Teresa. She's my favorite. She's getting older, and at some point she won't be with us, whereas beer is forever and it is part of my brand. I care about the soda pod more than I care about my palate. Unfortunately, Isha does not. And I am absolutely choosing beer over my beloved, beloved Asian bistro, which, Isha, since this is all hypothetical, you absolutely need to go to Asian bistro first thing when you get here.
I just want to say that if either of you have tried Faesongjeon, you would be able to empathize with me a little bit more. So I do have to cook it for you when I come visit. Because none of you are like this Persian all right, shit. All right. What the
cook,
fuck?
Cook off. You do that, and then we go to Asian bistro, and then you admit you're wrong.
Look, I'm just saying, just when I do visit Hoppy, you're gonna love it because I'm a hell of a cook, and I'll stock your freezer for a couple months.
Man, those are some good ones. I'm actually surprised that nobody said you could like get alcohol, like vodka, whiskey, bourbon. I mean, you don't have to.
Why would I make that argument if I'm arguing for beer?
Because Isha went straight to like, oh, I need my fix. I'll go to kombucha.
Like, my brain's melting. Okay, I need some electrolytes. I was on my mind. My sister is very much a Vancouver Islander, and she's got a big old SCOBY going, and so I saw that this morning. Kombucha was on my mind.
Gotcha. No, this is another good one, boys. You really brought the heat. So Hoppy, I mean, it's true to the brand, true to the podcast, but I gotta give it to Isha this week.
Okay, I was gonna say, like, that's a fucking, that's some fucking
before you even award anything.
Man, that's some fucking cheap playing with the heart there.
Before I even finished that sentence from Isha. So
well, I saw your face. I was like, oh, he's just gonna fuck me again.
No, Isha, the passion you spoke about that, I mean, it truly shows how much that dish means to you. And yes, you can find a different fix from beer elsewhere. But yeah, it's cool how you're raised up with some dishes that are super special to you, and it holds a special spot in your heart. So this week is all yours, buddy.
Yeah. And you know, I could have said, Hoppy, like, my dad's getting older too. And when he fucking dies, I'm never going to be able to, you know, taste it the same way. Cause he makes the best Faesongjeon. But no, I didn't say that.
Hey, buddy, guess what? That usually pulls on the heartstrings of a jury. I have Joey. Joey's cold, dead heart. It doesn't care about the branding of this podcast.
I love it. That was an awesome one, Joey.
Furthermore, on Jesper Wallstedt, everyone started asking, oh, is this a signal that we don't trust Kaapo Kähkönen? No, it's the complete opposite. This is the perfect transition player. He is not going to be with the Minnesota Wild for at least 3 years, maybe more, knowing the development curve for goaltenders. This is perfect, isn't it, Isha, where we can usher Talbot out in his twilight. Hey, maybe he comes back and signs another one-year deal because he wants to be part of the team, depending on where the success is at. But it's basically positioning it perfect so that Kähkönen and Wallstedt might be that 1-2 tandem.
I love it. I think it's so smart. Again, if that's the plan, the Wild are set up perfectly for in the contract, in Talbot's contract, and you know his age. It's perfect, and especially having the young goaltender behind him, getting NHL time right now, and there's a ton of runway for this young goaltender selected in this draft to develop and you know get some time in Iowa, and then you know. Get his feet wet in the National Hockey League, just like Kähkönen did when, you know, Dubnyk and Stalock were in net. All right. A little bit longer of a Wednesday episode because we wanted to dive into what we're drinking as usual. And just a quick little recap of Minnesota's draft selections this year. But we really appreciate everyone sticking around for it. I know Q is a fucking character and you love to hear Hoppy dunk on me in Judge Joey. So I really appreciate it. Holy fuck, these are already kicking in, eh? Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a kind review. Tell us what you're drinking. Tell us if you got a bone to pick with the Minnesota Wild due to their draft picks. Any of it and all just helps us rise the rankings on Chartable. If you're jonesing for more hockey content this summer, go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. On your app, please download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Hoppy, where can they find you?
You can find me at State of Hoppy Most Places.
And you can follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. There's selective markets right now. You can check out the Hockey Podcast Network account to see which ones that are running a contest for these really cool, like, man cave style wood jerseys coming out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We got to deal with the great folks there at Wood Jerseys Canada, and there's some contests going on. So check out at Hockey Pod Net. Find out what teams are in the running for that, and you simply, the same drill as always, follow them, retweet, comment, and you'll get a chance to win one of these awesome, really cool custom wood jerseys. So check that out again at Hockey Pod Net. That's it for the show. Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi, alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.